Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:03 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is August 9th. It is a decade since the beginning of the global financial crisis, and that is something that weighed on stock markets at the beginning of the day. But and of course, it's not great for sentiment when people start to think about, oh well, what is it that can, are the repercussions of a bubbly environment, and that's obviously that's also played into fears about what's likely to happen with all this brinksmanship with regard to North Korea. But against that background, the environment is still really quite inert. We can see from the VIX index that it went up about a half a point early in the day and closed pretty much unchanged. If we zoom out and look at that on a weekly basis, then we are perhaps given some additional perspective, because there's been a progression of lower rally highs in the VIX since the middle of 2015, and right now, or at least earlier on today, the VIX was trading above the trend mean and it finished well below it. There is certainly the characteristics of a declining wedge to this pattern, because it's rather difficult for the index to fall below 10 on a sustained basis, but we have been plumbing the depths on successive occasions over the last couple of months. So this is still a relatively inert environment, and this could potentially be another lower high. When we look at stock markets, then the Dow Jones is at a rather interesting level. It's at a big psychological level, so it's at 22,000. Then when we look at the S&P 500, it is close to 2,500. When we look at the NASDAQ 100, it's close to 6,000. And these are roundophobic levels. These are levels where people naturally ask the question, what next? When you get to these big psychological levels, people, and the way that to think about it is, when a market is rallying and people start to think about where is it likely to go, they're likely to pick the nearest round number. And the nearest round number for the NASDAQ, for example, is 6,000. So we've been pausing below it for the last month, or give or take the last 3 weeks. And that is relatively healthy. It is unwinding some of the short-term overbought condition. And there was quite a significant downward dynamic in July, but there hasn't been any follow through, and even on the day of the dynamic it finished well off the low. So that signaled a peak of at least short-term significance, and that short-term peak is unwinding the overbought condition. These remain still pretty consistent advances, and that advance has been going on really since the presidential election. While stock markets have been going up since the presidential election, the dollar has been going down, and it is now right at the lower side of its range against the dollar index is right at the lower side of its range, and this is primarily against the euro and the yen. There is tentative evidence, at least, that it is beginning to find support, but it really does need a clear downward dynamic to suggest that we are back in a mean reversion environment. What we did see today was that there was some selling pressure on stock markets which was not sustained, and if we look at, for example, the futures markets on an aggregate basis, we can see that the US futures right at the top of the page here are pretty much unchanged. The majority of indices in Europe were down over 1% in onto the close, but in the futures markets they're all trading well off their lows, whereas the Nikkei is relatively unchanged on the futures markets. That would suggest that tomorrow we're going to at least see some steadying. What is quite interesting is that China was pretty much unchanged in here today, and that's despite the fact that it has a land border with North Korea. So that would also, I think, help to bolster the view that what we're seeing is a little bit of anxiety coming through because of the memories of the trauma that everybody experienced in 2008. But there isn't any great deal, there isn't a catalyst to suggest that this is anything other than short-term steadying. When we look at some of those European indices, then they are still trading in the region of the trend mean. Oh, that's not particularly effective typing. But They were down in here today, and the chances are that they'll be a little bit steadier in here tomorrow. But when we look at it on the weekly basis, it is coming down slower than it went up. It looks like a very orderly reversion back to the mean. It hasn't quite completed that reversion yet, but and it does need to break the progression of lower rally highs to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. But the chances are that it will be able to find support. This was another interesting day from the perspective of what's happening in China, because the renminbi has been so firm. That is a quite a significant downward dynamic that we're seeing this week for the US dollar. In many respects, Trump is getting what he wanted. He wanted a weaker dollar and a stronger renminbi, and that is indeed what is now occurring. This is very clearly a break in what was really quite a consistent 3-year process of devaluation for the renminbi, which would suggest that the loss of confidence that it had really endured is that the monetary authorities are taking some efforts to arrest that decline. And trying to instill confidence in the administration, in their economic shepherding of the economy, that's all part and parcel of the much wider political objectives of ensuring Xi's legacy, and more importantly, the continued dominance of his particular branch of the party. And that is all heading into the party congress, probably in October or potentially even November this year. So that would suggest that we are in for a period of time where Chinese assets could be reasonably firm, because they are getting a significant tailwind from the people that control policy, and the A-share index has been really quite steady at the upper side of the range that's been developing now for about 9 months. So if it can sustain a move up out of that, then we're back in a demand-dominated environment. So it's a rather interesting time for the Chinese markets and the H-share index, despite the fact, for example, that the majority of indices in Europe were in negative territory today. It remains really quite firm, and this has been a very consistent advance over the last 18 months. But despite the fact that the stock market advances, excuse me, declines turned into advances, precious metals held on to the majority of their gains, and gold prices were pretty steady in here today. Silver prices were even more steady, and have now countermanded that big decline that we had on Friday, and pushing back up towards this $17 area. And that $17 area represents the region of the trend mean. So if it can sustain a move above it, then that would certainly confirm more than short-term steadying in the region of $15, and potentially that we are back in a demand-dominated environment, which would break this downward bias evident since the middle of last year. And platinum is trading back above its trend mean already, and it is a bit overbought in the short term. So the big question is now whether it can hold this advance. When we look at the wider commodity complex, nickel has stood out as being the one industrial metal that did not join the party last year, and it has continued to steady in the region of this 10,000 level. Its use in lithium-ion batteries is a potential bullish catalyst for this metal, and it is badly in need of a bullish catalyst to drive prices higher. And but there is at least tentative evidence that we are back in a demand-dominated environment. I think it's also worth considering what the impact of a strengthening renminbi means for Bitcoin. The Chinese are the primary source of mining for Bitcoin, and also among the largest beneficiaries of its ability to allow people to move money offshore. The fact that the renminbi is strengthening takes away some of the impetus that would be there for Chinese to move their money offshore, and that would suggest that that is a potential headwind for Bitcoin. But I guess the broader point is that it has broken out, and that it is Western investors now are beginning to drive it higher. And I'll repeat the point I made in the Friday audio, which was that one of the things that I think a lot of people investing in Bitcoin are motivated by is that in an increasingly digital economy, that they want a digital asset that whose value is based on the strength of the network and is outside the influence of governments. So, and that is helping to support the price above this 3,000 level. When we look at the government bond markets, they have been really quite inert. U.S. Treasury yields have bounced from the 2.2% level in here today. But what's been making headlines is the Greek government bonds. And let me type that in again. Where they are beginning to return to the international markets. And the yield has come in quite a bit over the last few years. It has been rallying somewhat in here over the last couple of days, but the yield hasn't been this low since 2014, and there is the realistic possibility that Greece would be able to come back to the international markets, and that's an additional sign that Europe is slowly and very slowly, in fact, getting over the enormous challenges that it faces. And it is doing so on Germany's timetable, which obviously isn't the best scenario for a country like Greece. But what we are beginning to see evidence of is that it is the countries that were most affected by the credit crisis and the sovereign wealth crisis in Europe's case that are exhibiting relative strength in here. The Greek stock market is currently at 830, and the low last year was at 420, so it has just about doubled in the last year and change. The Portuguese market certainly appears to be forming a first step above its base and has been firming above the region of the trend mean, and the Italian market, which I think has was written off by quite a significant number of people because of all the negative headlines about its banks. It moved to a new high in here yesterday, and it was down a little bit in here today, but this continues to look like a recovery trajectory within the context of what is still an 8-year base formation. And so often within base formations we can see moves of 100% from trough to peak before they eventually break out, and that is one of the things that often people then feel like they've missed the move because the market is up so much from the trough to the upper side of the range, and yet that is generally only the beginning of a new bull market. And I've posted an interesting video from the Wall Street Journal in comment of the day today. It's well worth taking a look at, and it's focusing on India and the life-changing benefit that smartphones are having for a lot of the what might previously be have been considered the disenfranchised millions in India, but more importantly, the Indian rupee continues to advance, and as long as it is trading stronger than the trend mean, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. So, I think to sum up, when we're in the silly season. This is the end of the first, I guess it's the beginning of the second week of August. There's a lot of people on vacation, and certainly what people are nervous when they look at what happened 10 years ago, and not least because media have got very little else to write about, and outside of what is happening in North Korea. And that brinksmanship is likely to remain a headwind, and one can hope that it doesn't turn into a much more serious problem. But the most likely scenario is that cooler heads will prevail. But in the absence of sustained moves below the trend mean, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside for the majority of these markets. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.